Hello, all. This is Blonde Haired Girl. This is a very, very early morning rambling on somewhat of a continuation of the podcast I put up several days ago regarding the protesters that are all over campuses in the United States and in other parts of the world. And it just is, sort of seems like there's just camps, like literal camps, like not just camps on the campuses, but people in these ideas, like either that it's the best thing ever or that these students should just get on a plane and go over there and help. I'm sorry, the sarcasm is coming over me. But I think a bigger issue for me really isn't even necessarily that. It is the idea of by force that really got to me. So what had happened was, for those of you who have not listened to my most previous podcast, I got in a debate on Facebook regarding students protesting at the University of Texas in Austin, and somebody in my particular circle had stated, like, made the effort to state, not just posted something, but made the effort to state, among other things, that these very young people, on the average, probably around 20, should be forcibly removed, by any means, forcibly removed. And I was really bothered by that implication. It brought back a lot of imagery for me regarding students or young people who have been protesting in other things, like the Black Lives Matter, or when Donald Trump was supposedly elected. There were, I'm sorry, I know he was elected, but I don't know if he was actually elected. I keep saying this, and I cannot prove it, but I just feel like something really squirrely happened in that particular election. That's why I say supposedly. But the young people took to the streets. They were very upset. Although they didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, they didn't vote Clinton. They just didn't vote. They were encouraged to vote their conscience, and so they did not vote in that election and were not happy with the outcome. Because actually, between the two, they would have rather have had Hillary than Trump. But they came out and just hordes of young people were just so upset. And I'm actually faced with that in this election, because I'm looking at this election and going, I have no idea what's going to happen. I really don't, because I don't agree with some of the things that the current president is doing. Like, I adamantly do not agree with just siding with Israel and allowing the starvation. I did the math, and it's like 900,000 people that are in need of and are living in substandard conditions. So 900,000 people. They just want to kill everyone who's in, they want everyone who is in Gaza to die. everyone in Gaza should die because of whatever happened with Hamas, which the truth is we really don't know what happened. I guess there had been threats for years, just threats, and the government had been warned over and over again, and they did nothing. And then this thing happened where they came in and did horrible things, and so the government just ran with it and decided, okay, this is it. This is when we just take Israel by force, like, you know, this word force, you know, just really wanting to talk about that word force. So, you know, this sounds really like a weird equivalency, but I remember when I was pregnant with my child, my first child, I was not a young person, but I was young, and somebody in my family, you know, came to me and suggested that I really look into this parenting program. I had not even had my child yet. Suggested that I look into this parenting program called Growing Kids God's Way. I'm actually wondering if it's a James Dobson program, but I cannot guarantee. But Growing Kids God's Way, and even back then, even as young as that age, I was very suspicious about anything that anybody attributed to being God's way. So that was a huge turnoff for me to hear that I was supposed to grow my kids, quote unquote, God's way. What God's way was, you know, because I was feeling entirely certain that that I was not going to agree with whatever way that they had attributed to being God's way, which was like, of course, the Bible, and of course, the Old Testament, which I will say again, I do not understand. And the use, and I don't know if, you know, I'm getting these things all lumped together, but I don't know when the conversation came in with the use of corporal punishment and punishment with kitchen utensils such as spatulas. And I knew that there was absolutely no way that I was ever going to raise a spatula to any of my children. Not that they didn't aggravate me sometimes, and not that I didn't resort to, at times, considering spanking them. And when that happened, my children laughed at me. They laughed at me when I would do anything that was even remotely violent toward them, because they knew how incredibly ludicrous the whole moment was. But it was mostly because I had just lost control of my own faculties. I needed a timeout. If it had gotten to this level of angst in my particular small family, I needed a timeout before I ever raised a hand to a child. Okay, so I was hell-bent on raising my children, first of all, differently than I had been raised. I didn't necessarily agree with the way that my parents raised me. The way that my childhood was pretty terrible. It was pretty terrible. I have actually recently really been looking, like, very seriously for myself at my relationship, even with my dad. because I had really idealized him. I had idealized him so much, you know, as this person who was the only person that I really had. And he was the only person that I really had, but he was really not emotionally there either. And he didn't protect me. He didn't know what was going on in his household. It was really checked out. He did come to things, as I recall. He was there, but he also had a lot of expectations of me doing what he wanted me to do, as being Republican and being Catholic, and he had these expectations of marrying a Catholic and all of that. But anyway, getting back to the subject, and just looking at this, so my break with standard, you know, traditional Christian thought happened when Matthew Shepard was beaten and left for dead. And I really identified with that as a parent. I was a brand new parent. I think I may have had both my first two children at the time, but I was so taken back by that death, like sending your child off to college and then having someone kill them. It really bothered me, you know, and then I started to just like, okay, but God demanded the blood of his son for the forgiveness of sins. And that was just when I had a break. I could no longer believe in what I had been trained, you know, and then like going into every Catholic church, nearly every Catholic church worldwide has a dying, tortured person on a cross front and center in their church, lest you forget. And so this really is just a whole mindset. A whole mindset of force. You know, so I started to think, you know, so what if it was your child? But the truth is, the people who think this way would forcibly remove their own child. They would forcibly. They would use force. They would use a spatula. Spare the rod, spoil the child. They would, because God told them to. God told them that this was the proper way to control other people and to raise them up to be proper people to use force on their children. Yeah. So I had had the opportunity to go visit some people yesterday, and while we were there, you know, this subject came up very briefly. The subject of, I didn't really want to get into it. I really do not want to talk to people about it. I don't want to debate people. I don't want to talk about opinions. I really don't care what to share my opinion or have them give me their opinion. But it did come up very, very briefly. And somebody there, you know, suggested, you know, this, that they should just get on a plane and if they really want to do something, go on the plane and help them. And I'm, how ludicrous that idea is. I mean, truly, that's not even a possibility. I don't know if people are aware of this, and I don't know all the details about it. But there are these ships that are trying to dock. There are people from different nationalities. They've gotten a bunch of food, and it's a humanitarian effort. And the Israeli government and the U.S., from what I'm hearing, are not allowing them to bring these supplies in. And the U.S. is trying to separate themselves from this because they don't want to look like they're not humanitarian, but they're not. They only care about what they look like, but not who they actually are, as in the United States, which is a weird thing that I just thought of. But anyway, so the point is that I believe that it is a mind, it is a way of life. It's a way of life. And I know this is going to sound really weird, and it's not to say that I don't sometimes squish a spider or a scorpion, or, you know, sometimes I do that. Oh my goodness, excuse me. Sometimes I do. Every once in a while. I mean, I don't really have a lot of pity for scorpions. They scare me, and I don't want them to sting my children. So if I see a scorpion, I'm likely to kill it. But a lot of spiders, I really do. I try to save them. Bees, when they come into my place, I try to let them out. You know, it's like, do you grab the raid and squirt it at them, or do you forcibly remove the little critter that came into your house, the little hummingbird, or, you know, do you... I'm having this funny remembrance of my once husband, at the time, we just kept getting these, rodents, like not rats, but, and I don't think they were squirrels. They could have been squirrels, but it was in the family of that. I think it was like, I can't think of the name of it, but they kept coming into, and they would find their way into the wall. I think they're like the chimney or something, and they would find their way into the wall, and they would scratch, and they would be really loud. And so my then husband was cutting holes in the bathroom. Was cutting holes in the bathroom, in my closet, actually my side of the closet, he was like cutting these holes, and then he was trapping them. And then we would take these, I think they were called chipmunks. They were chipmunks. And I don't know the difference between that really. I mean, you can tell their tail is a little bit different than a squirrel, but they're very similar. So then we would take these chipmunks and we would let them out. And then upon the demise of our relationship, I think he was taking different tactics. He wasn't, he was no longer showing any pity on the chipmunks, and they were dying, instead of being displaced. I guess living, with a somewhat pacifist, not to say that I do this perfectly, I'm not going to even suggest that, but I really try to live my life in a way to not harm others. I could have been this way my whole life. I remember, because I'm virtually a vegetarian. I do eat fish on occasion, but not even fish very much. you know, and people come at me and they're, why aren't you a vegan? You know, why do you, you know, use cream in your coffee? You know, and I buy my cream at, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, I buy my cream at a farmer's market where I hope the cows are treated well. I'm trusting that that cow is treated well and isn't like a cow that's, you know, in a horrible substandard conditions, because I do believe cows are mistreated, and I don't eat beef. That's not to say that I'm never wearing leather or anything. I try to be as conscientious without going crazy. I mean, it has been suggested, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that spinach scream if you put them in a blender. We can't hear the scream, but I guess some people can hear the scream. You can go crazy with this, because something has to change form, whatever it is, a nut when you eat it, vegetables, fruit, something has to change form in order for us to get nutrition. And so I guess that I would rather, if something's going to change form, that it be, you know, vegetables and fruit, nuts, rather than a cow in particular. But this is just the way I live my life, and I don't tell other people to live their life that way. And this is the way I was with my kids. It was a relationship with my kids that went both ways. I wasn't always the best either. I mean, we had our moments, which were mostly really good. But sometimes we didn't do very well. And we, you know, and in those cases, it was to try to do the least amount of damage, not the most. I remember asking this person who told me to grow my kids God's way about how those were working. So how are those? How is this way of raising your children working? And they said, well, I only have to hit one of their children, they said, I only have to hit them 13 times a day now. They thought that hitting their child with a spatula or whatever kitchen utensil they were using at the moment, 13 times a day was an improvement. I'm thinking about this time. We had these friends for a little bit of time, and part of the reason why I separated myself was because she was, this woman in particular, maybe her husband too, I don't know, but she was raising her kids God's way. We were in the car one time on a road trip. She had this great big vehicle. And she took her role as wife and mother very seriously. And he was definitely the breadwinner and was gone a lot. And she was just the mother. I mean, I don't say just, but like she was a stay-at-home mom and was very serious about her duties as the mom. So she had this gigantic car, and so I was sitting in the back seat of the car, you know, surrounded by children, and my youngest child was very young, but anyway, and her child started to, I guess, act up in some way. I don't remember what the child did, but children do this. My children do this sometimes. And she proceeded to, with the most precision that I had ever experienced in my life, while still driving, she pulled out a paint stick from like the back, you know, some compartment in the back of maybe in her console, and she whacked her child on the leg like 3 times. And her child started to scream. And I was speechless. You know, and then when the child did not do what she wanted again, because that didn't suffice, because I guess the child was not happy with that and was screaming longer than the child should have been screaming, she pulled out the paint stick again and just whacked him in the leg. And she was going to a church, and she was asking me about this, and she was like, something about machetes. And giving her kids, who were about the same age as my kids, which, you know, they would have been, you know, getting on to, like, I don't know. I think my youngest was about, I want to say 3. But I'm not sure if my youngest was 3. And so I'm seeing her 3. So my daughter might have been 10. And my son might have been 12. So they were around this age, like, you know, maybe going on to middle school, you know, somehow. I can't keep the timing straight. And there's some reason why I was saying that, and then I can't remember what it was. Oh, yes, it had to do with the machetes. That at her church, they were doing some kind of wilderness, something or other. And I just thought that was just the weirdest thing to give. Because her kids were around the same age as my kids. And they seemed awfully young to be. Where do you need a machete here? Like I'm being real. Like she lived in a little bit more rural than I was, but it was like, my God, what would they need a machete for? And I, you know, and it was just the whole idea, you know, they came up with this kind of slogan in my head, which was, who would Jesus spank? You know, if you're going to be a Christian, you know, and it says walk as Jesus did, if you're holding Jesus out as the person that you were trying to emulate, pulling out a paint stick and whacking your kid does not seem like a good solution. I mean, can we talk about this? And so I believe that that relationship kind of died because I was the wrong kind of Christian. I mean, being somebody who holds to the belief that there was a person who, you know, there's some schools of thought that say that Jesus never even lived. There was never even a person. That they just made it all up. This was a made-up character to form an entire religion around to control people. And you know, and I wouldn't put it past. I would not put it past the churches or the people or, you know, all of it. I wouldn't. And so I know that it seems like I've gotten far off the topic, but I really haven't, because this is just a way of being. And I understand the feeling of wanting to control a situation, this feeling of being out of control of a situation. I can feel that. you know, and having to have difficult conversations, which I think are easier with our children because either fortunately or unfortunately for them, we are responsible. We are responsible for our children. And so the responsibility is on us to care for them. But it's a whole nother thing to squeeze them into a box and burp them out the other side to be conformists and conform to a religion or an ideology or a belief, and that everything in this life has to fit into that box. I think this is why it is, you know, just to see the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, I guess that's his name. The Speaker of the House, you know, he went to, I think it was Columbia, and he spoke, and to me, he sounded ridiculous. He was uncompelling. He was just, get back to class. You're wasting your parents' money. It was the most ridiculous. It was so completely, I mean, even from my adult, I'm probably older than he is. And even from my standpoint, it was so unrelatable. These people are really unrelatable. They are just truly in their own world. And he would be one that would be he's a Christian person who believes that our nation should be a Christian nation. He believes that our founding fathers were Christians, that the Constitution and all of this is based on the Bible, or he wants it to be. He wants everyone in this, because, you know, it's God's way. Raise a nation God's way. His God's way. And through, I mean, who was it in the New Testament? I can't, because I had to throw it away. And it's not to say that I don't quote the Bible sometimes. I do, because, you know, it was a huge part of my life. And in the formation of my sense of morality and my culture. But there is so much that I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe that it's meant to take literally. And when I, you know, I remember this one, my somebody else in my family, and they're this couple in my family had come to visit me, and it turned into this debate in well into the night of really trying to push me and my then husband into a box of way of thinking that the book of Genesis is literal and that God created the world in 7 days, and that any talk of evolution is against God. And there was no way they were ever going to be able to push me in that box. You must believe this. Okay, and so then when I try to show them the absurdity of what they're saying, you know, I don't understand why you're not gouging your eyes out. Why are you not gouging your eyes out or cutting your hand off? Jesus said you're supposed to do that. When you sin, like, oh no, that's not meant to be taken literally. And like, really? Okay. So who says, you know, I guess that they would say their preacher says, so it's whatever their preacher says is the law of how they, what they are going to view as literal and what they're not going to view as literal. I mean, it's one thing, you know, it's like for me, and I say this because it's true for me, that I'm more, I mean, it's like one thing. Okay, God created the earth in 7 days, which is ludicrous, but I'm more impressed by the idea that there is no time. There was no beginning and no end. I'm more taken by infinity than I am by some guy in the sky, which is an impossibility. I know the Bible says that we were made in God's image, but it's an impossibility that we were made in God's image. That is impossible. Like, God does not look like us. Anyway, but I'm more impressed by the idea of, you know, the earth being billions of years old. I mean, I think that is like, how is that even possible? I'm more mind blown by that than I am that somehow some guy in the sky, you know, did something and created the earth. I'm sorry, I'm getting really sacrilegious here, and I gotta stop. But I do want to end with this, that it is a way of being that I just choose not to live by. I choose to live by mercy, and I don't always do it perfectly. You know, because I wasn't feeling very merciful toward these people who weren't feeling merciful. And I understand the hypocrisy of myself. That I don't always have tolerance for intolerance. But it is what I aspire to. And I guess it's just one way, and it doesn't mean it's the right way. But this is why I'm so off put by people trying to force, you know, that would like to forcibly remove these children, and they're making a difference. And I do believe that doing something is in some ways better than doing nothing, which is, I guess, doing something. So I'm going to end this now. As always, I appreciate you listening, and I'll be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.